Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Acts chapter 10. Today our subject is a certain man. In verse 1, the Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. You say, what is this? So many funny things I could say to that, but I'm learning. So let me just make it simple. Cornelius was a Gentile. Not only a Gentile, he was from Rome. He was an Italian, and he was in charge of 100 soldiers. He was a centurion. They were obviously in charge of 100 men under them, and they were Italian. That's basically what it's saying. They were rooted in Rome proper, in the actual city limits, and he was in charge of them. That basically is a description of who Cornelius is. What is interesting about Cornelius is that we believe, and most believe, that he is the first Gentile to become a believer. Now, you say, why is that important? Well, unless you are 100% totally Jewish in origin, in birth, I believe I'm 25% or whatever you could possibly figure it out. My grandmother was 100% Jewish, and but as it filters down, whatever the case might be, but if you are 100% Jewish, you would be able to say you are of God's chosen people. But they believed in these days that Gentiles, that maybe they couldn't be saved, that the gospel wasn't to them. I'll tell you why it's important that Cornelius didn't really care what anybody had to say. He just believed in God. And you know what that means for you and me is it doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, what you've done. God can save you. It's exactly what that song was talking about before I got up here to preach. So we're going to talk about some things, but there's some things that interested me about this story. Now, it takes place in the entire chapter. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but I am going to explain it to you. But look, if you would, at verse 2. The Bible says this about Cornelius, that he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Isn't it amazing? When it's God, you know it's him. It wasn't, oh, something. Somebody talk to me. Somebody, be careful that individuals always, so I saw this vision and somebody was, well, if you don't know it's God, it probably wasn't him. If it's the Lord, you know it. And Cornelius said this. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, now listen to this. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. That word memorial means reminder. Now, just think about this. Whatever was going on in this man's life, God specifically, through an own personal messenger, answered his prayers. Wow. Now, what I have not heard is this passage ever used about prayer. I've not ever heard of this passage taught of another insight in God's Word, how to have your prayers answered and how to, obviously, and we've talked about that. We've spent weeks and weeks on the Lord's Prayer and different things on Wednesday nights and times past. Look at verse 5. The Lord told him this, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. What was so different about this certain man, the first Gentile to put his faith and trust in Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and I ask you to bless your word this morning as you always do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me explain, if I can, briefly the chapter, and then we'll give you some observations from this, and we'll let you go this morning. The first thing I want you to understand about this is exactly what happened. Here's Cornelius in charge of 100 soldiers. He's living in Rome. He's an Italian. This wasn't like that there was a church he could attend. There wasn't like there was a lot of other believers that he could fellowship around, get some coffee, you know, and sit and talk about the Lord and how good he was. Obviously, he was the first Gentile to be converted. There wasn't believers around, and there wasn't other Christians around. This man was certain because in the middle of an entire, literally, city and country that did not know the Lord and did not know salvation, this man had come to put his belief and his faith in God. That's a miracle, by the way. The Bible says that he obviously had been doing these things. The Bible says he was a devout man, that he feared God with all of his house. He gave alms to people there in the city. He prayed to God continually. And then all of a sudden, a messenger shows up at his house. And we believe, by the way, because of the phraseology of God's word, if you'll notice, I believe in verse 3, the Bible says he saw a vision. Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God, capital G-O-D. We do not know at this point that if it was an angel sent by God or if it was God in heavenly form. Either way, I believe it was God speaking. Either he sent his messenger or is he himself. Some believe that this was actually Michael the archangel that showed up here at Cornelius' house. I don't know. All I know is this man was trying to do something nobody around him was doing, and all of a sudden God took notice of his prayer, God took notice of his life, and he literally shows up and says, hey, you are a reminder to me. I've remembered you, I've noticed you, I've watched you, and so now I'm getting ready to give you the next step of what to do. Soon as he shows up, Cornelius says, what is it, Lord? What do you want me to do? Now he tells him to go find Peter, Simon Peter. Now, here's what's interesting about Simon Peter. Simon Peter didn't think Gentiles could be saved. Of all people to send him to, isn't God great? I'm going to send you to the one guy that's still convinced that Gentiles can't be saved. And you're going to show up a Gentile already believing. So what he tells them to do, he says, send your men for Peter and have him come to you. Now, what's interesting, in verse 9 through 16, something interesting happens. The story stops and we go to where Peter is at that time. And the Bible says Peter was hungry and he was getting ready to eat. And all of a sudden, God put him into a trance and gave Peter a vision. Now, what was this vision of? Notice verse 11. It says that it was a great sheet, or like a bed sheet kind of a thing, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. What a great vision. Creeping things, spiders, snakes, all this stuff. It was all in like a big sheet, and God just lowers it down. And notice what God says in the vision. There came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, all of a sudden, now you notice even in this vision, Peter begins to say, Lord, no, I can't do that. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter was still a little bit stuck in the law. In other words, he believed in the Lord, but he still felt that you had to follow a certain law in order to be saved. And here God lowers down a sheet with all these animals in it that Peter couldn't eat. Little did he know what he was missing. I don't know what all four-footed beasts were there, but I hope there was a big cow. Steak's good. I don't know if a pig was there, but bacon's even better. Some of you are like, kind of thing. So God says, hey, kill and eat. And Peter says, oh, I can't do that. I've never eaten anything that's uncommon or unclean. Now notice what God says. Look at the verse 15. And a voice spake in him again the second time. And this is what God told Peter. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. If God said it's clean, then you need to see it as clean. You say, preacher, are we talking about food this morning? No, it goes way deeper than that. God said, Peter, if I've made somebody clean, they're clean. I don't care if they're Gentile. I don't care if they're Jew. I don't care if they're black, if they're white. It doesn't matter where they're from, what side of the tracks. Don't you look at somebody and call them common or unclean because of certain things that are out of their control. If God's made them clean, they're clean. Then verse 17, Peter wakes up from all this. And it says that he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. He wakes up in the middle of this and says, man, I don't even know what all this means. And all of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. And guess what? Those men that God had told Cornelius to send to get Peter showed right up at his door right when that vision was done. Isn't God's timing perfect? Peter just had a vision. Hey, it doesn't matter who you are. If God's cleaned them, they're clean. Gentile, Jew, doesn't matter. And Peter had always felt that only Gentiles could. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door of these men, these Gentiles, that want Peter to come see a Gentile that was a believer. Notice, if you would, in verse 21, the Bible says, then Peter went down with these men to go to see Cornelius. And when he got there, obviously Cornelius, the Bible says that his own servant said he's a just man, one that fears God. Verse 22, he has a good report among all the nation of the Jews. He's a Gentile, but even the Jews respect him. Notice, if you would, verse 23, the Bible says that obviously Peter comes in and Cornelius was waiting for them. And when Peter came in, the Bible says Cornelius just fell down on his knees in humility. And I love this. Look at verse 26. Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. You don't have to get down and worship me. I'm a man just like you. And by the way, God's no respecter of persons, and we shouldn't treat people different either. There shouldn't be some people come into this church and we just think, oh, wow, we are fortunate to have them. And then somebody else comes in that maybe not have a lot, and we're like, well, you know. Hey, if God's made them clean, they're clean. Hey, it doesn't matter who they are, what they are. Let me tell you something, we're all just men and women. The only thing that makes us worth anything is if we've been saved by the grace of God. What's interesting, I love this. Cornelius begins to tell him the story of how he believed in God and all these things. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Listen, if an individual is accepted by God, who are we not to? Y'all agree with that? Now, I love this, and I'm just going to show you a couple things, and then we'll let you go. I believe one of the key verses here is in verse 3 and 4. And you know that because the Bible says that the messenger of God comes to Cornelius and says, I've heard your prayer. God's remembered what you've said. What was it about Cornelius' life? And this is kind of part A of part B. And again, I'm just going to give you the information this morning and kind of let you go because I think this is a great story. What is it that God is telling us? I want you to notice first thing about Cornelius in verse 2. How did this man get his prayers answered? How did this man become obviously so important? How did God send a personal messenger to let him know, I've heard your prayers, I've seen the things that you've done? Notice number one, I want you to see, and this is all in verse 2. Number one, his faithfulness. The Bible says that Cornelius was a devout man. That word devout means reverent, godly, committed. It means that this man Cornelius was the same in public as he was in private. This is a man who was in charge of soldiers. Imagine what he saw and what he was around. And yet every one of those soldiers respected him, watched him, and the Bible even says that even they said that this man Cornelius wasn't just respected of Gentiles, he was even respected of Jews who were told not to have anything to do with Gentiles. He was, as I can put it, listen to me, he was devout, not divided. He was totally committed. You know what's amazing? There's a lot of us in church that are somewhat divided. We are one way here and another way there. We have people at church think we're the greatest thing since the wheel, but we got kids at home that know better. We got coworkers at work that know how we are. We're one way here, one way there, another way there. And we kind of ride both sides of the fence. And this man, Cornelius, the reason that God showed up, that God answered his prayer, that God gave him the next step, that God used him in a great way, is because he was 100% committed to God. A man that didn't even have other Christian friends. A man that didn't have all the encouragement, didn't have somebody calling like, well, you need to get back in church. Well, you need to do this and you need to that. He just was. He didn't have to be begged or pleaded or all the time petted and made to feel important. He was devout. Notice the second thing about him, not only his faithfulness, but his fear. This is one thing God really took notice of. Look at verse 2. The Bible says that not only, obviously, was he a devout man, but he was one that feared God. Now, we all know, you've heard me talk about this. This is missing in America. Nobody fears God anymore. By the way, Christians don't even fear God anymore. We just think, hey, what matters is what's popular, or what's trending, and all these things. Doesn't matter if God likes it. Don't matter if God would want that at his house. Doesn't matter if God would want that in my life. Doesn't matter if God would think that's worldly. I don't, so I'm going to do it. We have literally an entire nation of so-called evangelical Christians that do not have respect for God. They're not scared at all or fear God at all that maybe I might offend God. You know what's interesting? You say, well, he was just scared of God. No, and we've all talked about this, but may I say this, that this man Cornelius feared God and he was doing it in a nation where nobody feared God? Now get this, there's not many people that do like this guy. He was afraid to offend God more than he was afraid of God. Now I want you to get this. This is what this means. He was afraid of disappointing God, hurting God, offending God. That's why he feared God. Everybody thinks fearing God means that I'm afraid to do something or God might just bring the hammer down on me. That's not what fearing God is. That's being afraid of God. Listen, fearing God means this, that I want to live in a way because I'm afraid I might offend him. God is a holy God, a just God, and I don't want to do anything that would anger him and disappoint him and hurt him. That's what fearing God is. And we Christians have lost that. The last thing that goes in our minds is, hey, would this offend God? You don't even think about it. Notice the third thing, his faithfulness, his fear. Notice thirdly, his family. The Bible says he was one that feared God with all his house. He was the spiritual leader of his family. The Bible says his house. That means this. He had a high-pressure job. He had a lot of responsibility. It was a rough job, and it was a tough job, and he not only had to do battle, and he not only was in military, but he was high-ranking, and he was in charge of individuals, and yet somehow, in the middle of this high-pressure job, in the middle of a nation, literally, that had nothing to do with God, and there were no other Christians that loved God, he did something different. He led his family to God. You know what's interesting? He led a bunch of men, but more importantly, he led his family. I know a lot of people, they lead the 100 men, but they forget about the family. Those 100 men were his job, but those kids and wife at home were his family. Y'all get what I'm saying? God took notice because this man doesn't just fear God, but he's taught his family to fear God also. Doesn't mean his family was perfect. Doesn't mean they didn't make mistakes. But what God was saying about him is he fears God with his whole house. May I challenge you men, and especially husbands, especially men, and even obviously the wife. You have jobs and you have responsibilities and you might have high stress at work. I certainly understand, I do too. But may I say something, there is nothing more important of anybody that you might lead than those individuals in your house. That's most important. Your family. Notice the fourth thing, I'm going to get off that real quick because it's gotten way too quiet in here. Number four, I want you to notice not just his faithfulness, his fear, his family, but notice number four, his friendliness. The Bible says in verse 2 that God had taken note of this. The Bible says that he gave much alms to the people. Now, this word alms is an interesting word in the Greek. It means benevolence or items of compassion. It means compassionate loving. It means this, that Cornelius didn't just give things to people, he gave himself to people. Giving alms meant he didn't just throw some money at him every once in a while, although he might have given money. But giving alms meant that I not just help them financially, but I help them compassionately. I meet their needs. I help them. I love them. I care for them. Here's a man that had a rough, tough, mean job. And yet the Bible says in the middle of a place where there was no other Christians, he gave to people. He had compassion on people. What an individual. He cared. Oftentimes we say, well, I don't know why God's not answering my prayers. I don't know why. Well, are we caring for people? You say, what's interesting, you notice the Bible says that when the angel of God came to him, notice if you would in verse 4. Look at this real quick. This is what he said. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. They have reminded God of what you've been asking. Not just your prayers, your alms. Folks, do you know what God takes notice? It's not just done in the prayer closet. The prayer closet is where most of the work is not done nowadays. But it's not just in the prayer closet. It's how we treat people when we get out of it. The Bible says he gave alms to people. And God took notice of that. Wow. Notice lastly, I want you to see his fellowship. I love this in verse 2. The Bible says this about this individual. He prayed to God always. Always. What's that word always mean? It means constantly. You say, well, how could he lead 100 men and how could he have the family, supposedly preacher you say he had? How can he do that if the guy is on his knees in prayer 24 hours a day? No, it didn't say he's on his knees 24 hours a day. It just said he prayed to God always. And you know what? That's exactly what you and I should be doing too. You know why oftentimes God doesn't necessarily answer something? And when I say he doesn't answer, I mean he always answers. It might be yes, it might be no, it might be wait. But I'm going to tell you something, and to really move the heart of God in prayer. You know why oftentimes we don't? Because we haven't talked to him since we asked for something last time. You got to understand, here's why God took notice that this guy Cornelius, he was the same inside as he was on the outside. He was the guy that was given to people that didn't give back. And yet he always talked to God when he needed something and when he didn't need something. He was always talking to God throughout the entire day. Lord, you're going to have to help me in this. Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for how good you've been. Have you ever thought about this? And I only say this because I'm very hypocritical in this, because I did this week, so it's the only reason I'm bringing it up today. I love it when I finally do something during a week, then I can talk about how I did it and how you're supposed to be doing it. I haven't done it for years, but I did it last week, so now this is what you need to be doing. You know people like that? You know, they haven't done it for their whole life. They do it one time. Now they want to show everybody and teach them how they're supposed to do it. You know, some guy lost 8 pounds. Now he's going to show everybody. Well, let me tell you what I do. This is what you need to do. Chew sugarless gum. Boom. Like sugar gum's why I look like this. This is Krispy Kreme bread. I had somebody tell me years ago, you know what works if you use sugar-free toothpaste? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. My smart aleck side is like, lady, you just need to use toothpaste because it is looking bad in there, you know. But I didn't say that. This past week, I was driving down the road, and I say that because I actually did it this week. And I said this, Lord, thank you for my car. Church provides a car for us to drive. Man, we have put the miles and the wear and tear on that vehicle. I cannot tell you what a blessing that vehicle's been. I just can't tell you. And I'm just thankful for it. So, Lord, thank you for this. What I'm saying is, when's the last time we just driving somewhere and said, Lord, thank you for this car. Thank you for this. Instead of driving by the car lot looking at everything we wish we had. And God's like, oh, I'm glad you're so thankful for what I provided. Cornelius prayed to God always. You say, okay, preacher, what's the point? Well, before I let you go, let me tell you what I think the rest of this story shows, and I'll let you go. The life of Cornelius shows us this. Number one, that God hears our prayers. Verse 4, the Bible says, thy prayers are come up for memorial before God. You know, if nothing else, you need to see from this man, here's a Gentile that in a time where a lot of people thought Gentiles weren't good enough and weren't allowed to be saved, only Jewish individuals. This man's life shows that God heard his prayers. And may I tell you something? I don't care how you've made mistakes and the bad things you've done and how we've blown it. Lord, get in line behind me. I've got my things. But you know what? It's nice to know that God does not hear our prayers because we're such a good person. God hears our prayers because Christ forgave our sins. Second thing I want you to know from the life of Cornelius, we see this, number two, that God honors our efforts. The Bible says that that angel said, God has noticed your prayers and your alms. Everything you've done for others in the name of God, the messenger of God said, God's taken notice of. You know, you might do things for individuals, nobody sees it, nobody notices. I might not get up here at the pulpit and thank you for it or praise you for it because I might not even know you've done it. But everything you do in the name of the Lord, God keeps track. It's nice to know that God hears our prayers, and second, that God honors our efforts. And I want to encourage you today, God honors your efforts. It's a memorial before Him. He remembers that. Notice the third thing about the life of Cornelius is this, that third, that God will lead if you will follow. In verse 7, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord which spake unto... Notice verse 7, if you would. When the angel of the Lord which spake unto Cornelius was departed, after he told him, hey, you need to go here, you need to send these men, find Simon Peter, and he will tell you what step you need to take next. And notice in verse 7, as soon as the angel left, the Bible says he called. I mean, as soon as the angel told him, this is what you need to do, he called his servants, sent him to go find Peter. He obeyed immediately. And dear friend, I want you to know, if you will just follow God, he will lead you. You know, oftentimes God doesn't lead because we won't follow, so why would he? He knows if we will or not. Why would God waste his time to tell you what to do next if he already knows you're not going to do it? See, a lot of times we already know what we're going to do, but we want to act like we're still checking. It's like, well, if God lets me know something different, I'll do it. God knows even if he told you, you wouldn't do different. You're going to do that anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. When God knows you will follow, he will lead. I love that. Look at verse 22. The Bible says that this guy, Cornelius, was a just man, one that feared God. And notice the second part. He was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house. Here these guys are. It says, we're here because the angel told Cornelius to do it, and he did it. He obeyed. Number four, the life of Cornelius shows us this, that God died for everybody. Now, a couple of the verses I didn't show you. I want you to look at verse 28. And Peter said this to these men. He says, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.